Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. We have another Space World episode for you lined up here. As promised, we're going to be talking about Spaceballs. No real major spoilers for this one, as the plot is so paper thin, it's really hard to spoil anything. But we had a good time recording it, so I hope you have a good time listening.
Everything that's happening now is happening now.
Are you going to quote the whole damn thing?
Yes!
Oh my god.
This is fucking fantastic.
All right, go on.
What happened to then? When? Now? 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 We passed then. When? Just now. When will then be now? Soon.
Get it out of your system.
So good.
Could you make a
list? I see you have the ring, and your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Could you make a list of your top five favorite quotes?
I am your father's brothers, nephews, cousins, former roommates.
So the movie you're talking about is, of course,
Spaceballs.
Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, not that. Mel Brooks movie.
Yep.
Fantastic. It's one of his goofy little spoof movies.
Yep, and of course, why don't we talk about Mel Brooks for a second?
Sure.
So, I was running through the filmography.
He's made a career out of essentially parody,
mm-hmm.
of making some really incredible, insightful parody. And he seems to just pick whatever kind of movie he feels so inclined, including Spaceballs.
I just realized I did that quote wrong.
Okay.
I won't fix it, but I did do it wrong.
Okay.
We'll fix it in post.
I missed the one.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you want to...
The Producers, which is,
yes,
fantastic. Mm-hmm. Really, really great movie. Blazing Saddles, which we were talking about, the show kind of falls apart in the final act there.
Oh, but hey, if any movie can be given a pass for falling apart at the end, this the first, 70% of it is brilliant.
Fantastic.
It's fucking brilliant. Yeah, and then on into, Young Frankenstein.
So good.
Silent movie, again, him basically making an entire film around a punch, one punchline, which is brilliant that he can do it and pull it off. You know, that you're watching a silent movie that could speak any moment it chooses to. You know, very, very clever on his part. History of the World, Part 1, which was just incredibly grand and scope. And and then Spaceballs, of course. Robin Hood, Men in Tights. And then his final film, at least the last one he's made, I think he's still alive, is Dracula, Dead and Loving It.
I forgot about Robin Hood.
The last one that he's directed, anyway. I think he's been credited as writing some stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to me, this guy is a little bit hit and miss as a filmmaker. So sometimes I just find his stuff juvenile. Like, Robin Hood, Men in Tights doesn't really do it for me. This particular, Spaceballs doesn't really do it for me. But I really like Young Frankenstein. Young Frankenstein's fucking great.
Come on, lend me your ears. They literally rip the ears off their heads and throw it at them. Come on, that was fantastic.
I mean, it's a lot of puns. It's a series of puns. And Spaceballs is the same way. It's just like really simplistic wordplay that is lowbrow.
God, I hate you so much.
All right, but...
It is a lot of, it's corny jokes, like corny dad jokes,
mm-hmm.
almost.
Yep.
Seemingly fills all of his movies. And I don't know, sometimes he could just totally get away with every joke he wants. And then, yeah, a film like Spaceballs, which is just so... Like, it's clearly making fun of Star Wars, of course, but that is something that is just so ripe for parody.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what he does is just great.
So, why don't you guys talk about what you liked about Spaceballs, since I'm just going to sit here hating it the whole time.
I like the
really?
Jet
you
guy
actually,
humor.
You didn't like it at all? Is that your take of it? You just didn't enjoy it?
No, the jokes didn't land for me.
What about Robin Hood, Men in Tights? Better or worse?
Robin Hood, Men in Tights is better.
Oh, no, it's not.
Because
we started watching Spaceballs. We did not finish it.
Right.
But more recently, I did watch in its entirety all of Robin Hood, Men in Tights. And that is a... painfully corny at times.
It's a movie that was really popular when we were in middle school, I imagine.
Yeah.
And it is very middle school humor. It's all very juvenile stuff.
And it's also sort of like, I mean, I look at the cast, and the cast is pretty okay, but it's sort of like populated with a lot of, like, B-list actors.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like early on, he was very fortunate to work with some really incredible people.
Yeah.
And then later in his career, he couldn't quite stack the deck with all of these truly amazing actors. And I mean, if you watch something like Spaceballs, you do get John Candy, and John Candy
is exactly
one of the best comedians of his generation. Yeah. He's so likable.
He is in it twice, Mel Brooks himself.
Yeah.
True. He's got a couple of roles on there.
That is great. Yeah, I don't know. Wes, what's your? I mean, where you've been quoting it? What do you think?
I mean, I like all. I've seen four of them. Yeah, The Robin Hood, The Young Frankenstein, Spaceballs. All of them I really enjoyed, but I think they actually work really well as just on their own. They can't really compare them a whole lot. I mean, it's just a different kind of spoof that's making fun of something else. I mean,
Robin Hood Men in Tights is just Prince of Thieves. Again.
Well, Robin Hood is itself a genre. I mean, think of how many times you've seen that movie. But wasn't it just redone like 3 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was a little bit more than that. But yeah, Russell Crowe.
You know, there's Robin Hood. Ridiculous version. Kevin Costner's portrayed him. The Disney took a swing at trying to do a Robin Hood movie. And I think it was pretty good, except for the fact that it's all like fucking Louisiana music. It's true. You think of Robin Hood, you think of fucking Louisiana.
He's you know, leading a rebellion against the King of England down the bayou.
What a hot jazz everywhere. So, yeah, one of the very first movies we did was Galaxy Quest, and I like Galaxy Quest, and I think that's maybe a little more satire than parody, in spite of the fact that it's supposed to be.
Well, it's satire.
Star Trek.
Yeah, it's Star Trek, and it pays a little bit more homage to the source material rather than just kind of taking similar scenes and putting some puns in them. And I'm being reductionist here. I am boiling it down to its most simple formula of this is what Mel Brooks is doing in Spaceballs. He's taking a scene from Star Wars and twisting it and putting silly things in there.
Well, it also does strive for, like, you know, the Zucker brothers, the guys that did, like,
Airplane,
Naked Gun, Airplane. They love trying to cram a joke into every... They want a joke delivered in less than a second every second of
the
film.
Were they the same people that did Top Secret?
Yeah, they did Top Secret.
Oh my god, that was so a secret movie. Top Secret was fantastic.
So, I mean, and that's the idea. It's just, like, how quickly can we deliver how many jokes? And it's okay if a couple of the jokes flop, because we got eight more coming at you in the next 10 seconds. So get ready. Like, even if it's... And some jokes that make you think about things sometimes, where you actually have to sit there and ponder, like, what exactly is... Sometimes it'll be some sort of visual metaphor that you have to take in, and it takes you, like, you know, a little bit of time for you actually go back and realize that you just missed a funny joke.
Example of your point. Like, one of the parts I do like about Spaceballs is when they meet, God, whatever they call the Yoda character.
Yogurt.
Fucking stupid joke.
Yep.
But they're like asking him, like, what are you doing down here? He's merchandising. And it's a really fun take on what Star Wars became. Because it just became like toys and lunchboxes and merchandise and shit. And like, Spaceballs, the flamethrower. That is a great joke.
Yeah.
Because it's more of a meta joke on what Star Wars turned into after it became such a phenomenon.
True.
Or what else? What else about Spaceballs? What do we got here?
I don't know. You could go into this from some of the performances you get, which actually are pretty good. Rick Moranis, awesome. He does a great job being... Because, like, Darth Vader is such an imposing villain. I think when AFI did their top 100 villains of all time, he was number 2 after Hannibal Lecter. Right? Like, he's one of the greatest villains ever. And then to turn him into just kind of a weaselly little... annoying Jewish guy, which is
with the big bow tie, lots and giant mask.
Yeah, Mel Brooks's angle. So
lots of over Jewish, my helmets. Lots of Jewish jokes in this movie. Lots of digs at his own people.
Yeah, as he likes to do. I mean, it's kind of part and parcel of his humor. We already mentioned John Candy, who is just he is. I don't know. One of the most, he feels like he's a part of your family, even though you never met the guy. Like, he's just one of the most likable human beings that's ever been put on film.
Yeah.
I really think he's an amazing actor. And Bill Pullman, and I would say this is better than Independence Day, but it's another space movie that we could talk about.
So, I mean, it's kind of a space movie. I guess we could do Independence Day.
They go into outer space briefly.
That's true,
they do. They smoke some cigars.
With their Apple computers.
Oh, so stupid.
Yeah, he takes down the alien race with his Apple.
Yeah. Who else we got? I mean, there's other actors in this. Joan Rivers does Dot Matrix, which is supposed to be the noxious...
C-3PO. The more obnoxious version of C-3PO.
Am I missing this? How does John Hurt appear as himself?
I don't remember.
Is that supposed to be an alien thing? Is there like some alien riff on it? He's the guy that has the alien burst out of him in the titular film.
Oh yeah, there's
oh,
a scene.
Oh, he's just there. He's just there in the diner at the end.
Yeah, they go to a diner close to the end of the movie, and
oh okay,
the diner. I think it's a diner at the end of the universe, so I think it's a reference to
Milliways.
Yeah.
Oh nice.
So and then he like has the soup and alien bursts out his chest.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just there.
He doesn't like. Oh, and he says like he gives a line like, "Oh no, not again," that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But so yeah, he's. I guess not playing a character, he's just being himself with an alien popping out of him.
Oh, do you guys know who Stephen Tobolowsky is?
Yeah.
I think I'm reaching there. I don't think he is.
He has a really funny cameo. He's one of the... Yeah, remember, he's actually right at the beginning of it. He's one of the lackeys, like one of the Imperial soldiers. And I think that's another thing that they actually kind of do a pretty good job of making fun of, is the whole stormtrooper thing, how there's just so much like shitty bureaucracy involved in like running this military and how bad he is at doing it. And how it just constantly destroys the people around him. You know, it's... And also not by, like, choking them, but just, like, basically, what do you think he's doing to their testicles? That can't
feel good.
He's,
like, crushing them or something?
Yeah.
With his magic ring.
Oh, that's bad.
Anyway.
So, yeah, I think you're... I don't know. Are we even approaching wrapping this up? What do we want to talk about this? Like, there's...
A whole lot to talk about with this movie. It's pretty straightforward. They go out not to be serious, and they do a very good job at that.
Do you think maybe, like... I look back at the other Mel Brooks movies that truly land, and it's like Blazing Saddles. And Blazing Saddles isn't making fun of one specific Western, right?
It's just making fun of Westerns in general.
Like, yeah, Young Frankenstein, while it is... has a lot of material with Frankenstein itself, it seems like it's... making fun of old B-monster movies
and
stuff like that. And this feels like it is 90% him riffing on Star Wars.
Right.
And the success of Star Wars.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of Star Trek here and there.
Yeah, I mean, like Alien. I mean, there's
an Alien reference. Star Wars as a focus, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe as a better just pure parody, pure straight-up making fun of it, those Family Guy ones were actually really spot on.
At times.
Especially if you're a diehard fan of the original movies. Seeing them make fun of just every little nook and cranny of the movie that you love so much and the things you watch a million times. You know, like how when they're shooting the laser beam out of the fucking Death Star, there's no rails for those two guys. It's like, just, you know, that's the funny, really subtle stuff. And in this, you know, you've got John Candy dressed as a dog.
Yep.
Yeah. Some pizza gags, I recall.
Pizza the Hut.
Some really nasty, yeah.
Pizza the Hut. Drives a camper. Like a big camper van.
With a big bumper sticker says, "I break for... I love your anus." So,
yeah, the "I break for nobody" was at the end of the really long Star Destroyer
ship. I started mixing things.
which
that's
actually
really clever.
It is a really fun gag to begin the movie. Like, they do the scrolling words like in Star Wars.
Yeah.
And it's a really fun gag to begin the movie with because... it's this, what is it, like, it's got to be like 2 minutes. A 2 minute take of just the ship flying by. And it's so long. Every time you think it's going to be over, like, no, here's more shit. Here comes more of it. And it also does that Family Guy thing where it goes on for so long it stops being funny. And then it keeps going for even longer and becomes funny again.
Oh, and just like the scrolling text on black. You know, the Angler Blue leading you like a hallway into the movie that you're about to watch.
Yeah.
That's really great. And it makes me think, I want more movies that are not even about space today. I kind of just want to see this in just a lot of random
movies. Like the next Robin Hood movie.
I'd be totally on board with that. If it opened that and then, you know, use just the, like the camera scrolls down the earth and, you know, you land on Sharon Forrest or whatever. I would be okay with that.
All right. I think we're getting near the end here. Anything else about space balls you want to throw out there?
My personal take, I feel like maybe I'm like the perfect middleman for once, where you seem to not really like this movie at all. Wes clearly loves it.
Yeah.
I think it doesn't hit all the time, but when it does, it hits really well. That's my take.
Cool.
That's my hot take.
And that's going to wrap up this episode of Space World. Next up, hopefully it was just in the next day or two, I'll be done editing the mini show. And then, you know, we'll probably have a couple more Space Worlds before we do our Super Nintendo show for Chrono Trigger. And then wrap up the month with an official show. So, till next time, everybody.